Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Until we actually realized that without him, you and I never would have made it. We'll continue as if life is just another day. But when we come to the realization that we are because he is, we'll have an absolutely different outlook to this life thing. Absolutely, absolutely love that song. It's Marvin Sapp with Never Would Have Made It. Time for those meaningful discussions that we always get to hear from IM Youth, particularly from Given Masilela. And today, he's talking about how the Bible leads you to the truth. If you think you are a truthful person, wait until you are exposed to his word, and you will really see that your truth is really nothing, because he leads us to the real truth. Someone once said, there is God's truth and there's your truth, but the real truth is absolutely one that is found within his word. So listen up to this.
Entertainment media has a lot of tropes. And in particular, when we're talking about Hollywood, right, in terms of series, films, or mini-series, you always get this thing where the hero is trying to save someone who has been infected by some kind of virus, and they need an antidote in order to not only kill the virus or the infection, but also to reverse the damage that has been caused by that, whatever virus they might have been infected with. And you always get this sense of relief as the audience member as you're watching. This usually happens in films that are based on science fiction, right? You usually get the sense of relief when you start to see the victim having the damage that's been caused to their body begin to reverse, and you see their body begin to recover. But unfortunately, in the real world, it doesn't work that way. We all know that even if after you've been bitten and you get infected by some kind of virus, we know and understand that these things take time to heal. Even if you've been given an antivirus, even if you've gone to the doctor and received medication. Now, in our covering of the topic of truth versus conspiracy or conspiracy culture, I would like us to think of the idea of conspiracies as being a virus that infects us and the people around us that we love and care about. It infects them so much that even at dinner tables, you'll find them defending conspiracies and bringing them up and doing their utmost best to convince you of the fact that this conspiracy is true. And it influences them to such an extent that it even drives people away from their lives, and they begin to live their lives in such a way that it accommodates this conspiracy and perpetuates the idea of this conspiracy. And the sad part is that on the other side, those who are claimed to be part of the conspiracy, the drivers of the conspiracy, they're living their lives, right? They don't care about that one individual who believes that they exist. And the point I'm trying to make here is that, unfortunately, conspiracies are like when a snake bites you and leaves a virus inside of you, or venom rather, inside of you, and the venom begins to eat at you as an individual. Once the snake leaves you, it's going to take moments and it's forgotten about you. The virus stays inside of you, or the venom stays inside of you, and it begins to eat at you. And this is what I believe happens to people who are infected by this idea of conspiracy culture. You find that the virus enters their system, which the virus being the whatever conspiracy it may be, and then it begins to eat at them. And they begin to take it and try their best to infect other people so that they become as obsessed as they are, so that they become as disruptive, as they become as so obsessed that they try to drag other people into this conspiracy. And it shapes the way they think, the content they consume. It just shapes the way that they speak and makes not only their lives but the lives of the people around them uncomfortable. Now, just to give a little bit of context, do remember that in us talking about those who are infected by this virus of conspiracy culture, we're not just talking about someone who finds conspiracies interesting, someone who laughs them off, or someone who spends a little bit of time allowing themselves to be entertained by conspiracies. We're talking about this group of people that have a tendency to immerse themselves in these ideas of conspiracy, right? Whenever they hear something like COVID is not real, or the government is trying to manufacture whatever, an AI to take over the human race, or the Illuminati is real. The conversation we're having here is not to argue whether these conspiracies are true or not. It's to talk about the health implications of allowing yourself to be infected by these ideas of conspiracy, to a point that you will debate any individual who dares to disagree with you, and you will treat them as though they have no knowledge, or they do not have as much knowledge as you. And I'd like to propose the fact that if we're looking at conspiracy culture as being a venom, a poison that infects you and begins to deteriorate your body, your life, your mental health, and things like that, then we can look at the Bible as being the antidote. This is a very important point, right? The fact that the Bible teaches you to separate truth from these conspiracies. Because at the end of the day, if we are honest with ourselves, particularly us as believers, we know and understand the fact that it doesn't matter what happens in the world. At the end of the day, God is not going to look at how many conspiracies you manage to unearth. He's going to look at how much of his word did you manage to hold true? Did you manage to live by, right? The truth of his word, the principles of his word. How much time did you manage to spend fellowshipping with God through Christ? How much time did you manage to spend giving to the poor, being about your father's business, visiting the widows and the orphans, trying your best to be a person who is a person of servitude, serving your fellow brethren? How much time did you spend doing those things? I like to think of it as a parent who leaves the home and tells their child, right, that when I come back, and let's say the parent is leaving for argument's sake, 3 to 6 months. And it says, if you manage to look after this home, do your chores, wash the dishes, pay the bills, I will send you money every month. If you manage to take care of this home that I'm leaving you with, in 6 months, I will come back and buy you whatever car you want. Let's say that car is a Tesla M3, for argument's sake, right? Let's say you're living in that fantastic world. Now, this, I would like to liken this to that child going on and obsessing over a conspiracy in the neighborhood, that people in the neighborhood are trying to do this, 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 and that. I want you to think about how dumb it would be for that child to focus their attention on the conspiracies in their neighborhood to the point that they impact and influence and hinder their ability to actually be good stewards of the home that has been left to them to look after. Right. And that's exactly how you know that someone is so immersed in conspiracies that they come to a point of being no longer being functional. Right. Some people. Right. And that's those are very extreme cases. For the most part, you find that the conspiracies infect them and influence them to a point of them just not being able to keep and hold good conversations. They always try to drag people to this place of arguments and this place of trying to convince them that this conspiracy is true. But if you think about it, they're not being good stewards of the friendships that they've been entrusted with. They're not being good stewards of the relationships that the people around them have entrusted them with. I would much rather work on the relationship that I have with my friends, with my partner, with the people at work. I'd much rather establish a good relationship with them, because when you have a relationship with a person and they've learned to trust you, it only takes minimal effort from you in order to convince them that something is dangerous. And if they don't listen to you, you don't have to force them and debate them at every gathering you have with them. That's very unhealthy. You cultivate relationships, you build and grow relationships. The only time that you end relationships is if they are actively being detrimental towards you. If you're starting to see that the relationships are now becoming harmful, toxic, keeping you from being able to live your life as a son of God, as a child of God, being keeping you away from being able to accomplish your work, being productive, that's when you walk away from relationships. You should never risk relationships for the sake of a conspiracy that, if we're all honest, you yourself don't even know that it's true. And if we spend our time focusing on the Word, studying the Word of God, reading and looking at what God has called us to do, it'll always give you guidance and teach you how to prioritize the things that matter. And over time, all the damage that the virus or the infection or the venom has caused in your body, in your life, in your mental health will begin to be fixed. And this is why in the beginning I began by saying that all of this will not fix itself overnight. None of it will fix itself overnight. Oh, thank you, Lord. It really makes me want to pray for you. And I do pray that in the name of Jesus, you would not allow yourself to be handcuffed by all the conspiracy ideas that exist within the world, but you would rather focus on building authentic relationships around you, holding the people that love you around you, holding them dear, holding the relationships that they allow you to have with them sacred, right? And remembering that no relationship is worth sacrificing for the sake of an argument or for the sake of reinforcing that there is a conspiracy that exists. Think about that deeply.
Hear the Word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
The Word for You Today is our youth devotional that has been available as a printed booklet and has also been accessible via email. It is intended to encourage and guide young people in their walk with God. Well, we are excited to announce that the youth devotional is going fully digital. This means that the Word for You Today booklet will no longer be available in hard copy or sent by post, but it will still be accessible on the I Am Youth website, email subscription, and the I Am Youth app, which is available on both the Google Play Store and App Store for iPhone users. Visit www.imymovement.co.za and join the move to digital.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.